Well, first of all, good morning, Keith. It's good to see you. I wish we were in Austin, as we have been in prior
occasions.
It's
a fun place.
It is a very fun place, although I did appreciate not flying on a Sunday night. That part gets old, but being in person definitely doesn't. And Mr. Chairman, it's the first time I've seen you. I was almost said in person, and I've seen you. So congratulations on your appointment. And Heather, it's good to see you. Heather and I have had the chance to get to work together a lot over the last 6 weeks or so. So what do I think is going to happen for clean energy? And when are we going to find out? Let me just say, first of all, that I am thrilled to be have an administration that so prioritizes these intersecting crises that our nation is facing, right? The climate crisis, the environmental crisis, the environmental justice crisis, the economic crisis, and really sees clean energy as the path forward to solve those all at one time. And what I think is going to happen is, and you're going to talk with the chairman about it, is that all of the levers of government are going to be used to solve those crises. So certainly there will be, I think, an infrastructure package. I think we'll see it fairly soon. There will be things for clean energy, like transmission, like tax policy, like funding for R&D. But I do think the focus will be on acceleration, right? The clean energy transition is happening, right? The market has spoken. I don't feel like it's really a question, but how quickly it will happen is really what's up for grabs. And I think this administration is going to focus on rapid deployment. And that's what I'm excited about.
So Heather Zekel, any sense of what might be in it and when it will be announced?
So, I mean, I think early indications have led us to believe that we will start seeing some details as soon as February. And I think in terms of the substance itself, I mean, to Abby's point, the new president has made it very clear that the climate policy is, at the front and center of how he's thinking about economic policy. I think a lot of what we saw in his when he was on the campaign trail in terms of his recognition that rebuilding infrastructure is really at the heart of economic development and what we need to do to tackle climate change. I expect that a lot of those policies he campaigned on, whether it's the rapid deployment of clean energy and the work that they're going to do to decarbonize the power sector. But, they're taking a holistic approach in the same way that they're thinking about what can, the Treasury Department and USTR bring to the table on climate policy. They're also thinking in a pretty comprehensive way. So looking at what changes and differences can we make in the power sector? How do we rapidly deploy zero emission vehicles and think about the future of the auto industry? And then what do we really need to do to rebuild our crumbling infrastructure in a way that can withstand a changing climate? So I'm very hopeful that, we are going to have a robust package that will drive not only meaningful change on the climate agenda, but create millions of high-paying quality jobs as well.
Heather, sticking with you, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce and the Bipartisan Policy Center said they hope this bill can be enacted by July 4. Do you think that's optimistic?
Listen, I think if I had a crystal ball and could tell you dates and times, I would be the most popular woman in Washington, D.C. unfortunately, I don't have said crystal ball, but I do believe that the infrastructure agenda is something that can unite Republicans and Democrats. When it comes to job creation, when it comes to the kinds of investments the president is talking about, we know that today, for example, the Clean Power Association, our member companies are creating jobs in all 50 states. And, I think you see elected officials seeing more and more that there is a strong desire on behalf of the American electorate for a bigger, better, and more impressive climate policy from both sides of the aisle. And I think that I think Biden is uniquely situated to sort of land a policy in a way that will garner bipartisan support. In terms of timetables, et cetera, I think if we see something coming out in February and, there's ongoing negotiations with both sides of the aisle in both the House and the Senate, I think that the July timeframe is fairly optimistic, but we are going to be doing everything we can to create political space and ensure success for that package.
Abby Hopper, picking up on that, do you think this bill, this clean energy and infrastructure bill, will have to pass as a reconciliation measure requiring only 50 votes in the Senate? And if so, what are the implications for what can be included?
I'm gonna borrow Heather's line. if I knew how all those electeds would vote, I would be the second most popular person in Washington right now. But I think what your question is really getting at is sort of the durability of a climate policy, right? And I definitely think that that is important. I think we've learned that in prior legislative battles about a lot of different stuff. I would echo what Heather said, though. I mean, this idea that a clean energy transition is partisan is, I think, a false narrative. I mean, all of our polling shows that Republicans and Democrats both believe the government should play a stronger role in helping with this transition. I look at places like South Carolina a couple of years ago, where we had a Republican governor, a Republican House, and a Republican Senate that passed a really fulsome clean energy, a solar bill, actually, for, you know, utility scale community and residential solar. I mean, we look at the amount of Republican support we have for solar policy in the House and the Senate. And so that gives me some hope that at least the clean energy pieces of a larger bill will have a lot of durability going forward.